Sports, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. New details on the man accused of lobbing Molotov cocktails into a crowd of demonstrators in Boulder, Colorado, showing support for Israeli hostages in Gaza.
He said he wanted them all to die. He had no regrets, and he would go back and do it again.
Acting U.S. Attorney Bishop Gruel, 12 people were injured. CBS's Naomi Ruckham.
The Jewish community is beyond upset.
Councilwoman Tara Weiner knows four of the victims, including an 88-year-old Holocaust refugee.
I talked to some of them who could answer the phone. They'll be okay physically.
Though his visa had expired in March, the suspect, an Egyptian national, had passed recent background checks for his job as an Uber driver. Correspondent Nancy Cordes with reaction from Washington.
The president and the White House more generally, they're using this case to hammer the Biden administration over its immigration policies, which they are arguing enabled this suspect to stay in the country.
Local health officials reporting yet another attack on hungry Palestinians in Gaza. This time they report 27 people died in southern Rafah. The BBC's Barbara Platt-Usher from Jerusalem.
What we're hearing is that Palestinians were killed as they were gathering to head towards the aid site. We do have a report from the Israeli army that said it did fire at a number of people, suspects it calls them, that left the designated route and didn't pay attention to warning shots, but it does not have an answer for the number of casualties that we're seeing at the hospital.
The Trump administration has new plans to expand oil drilling. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
The Department of the Interior has proposed rescinding a rule put in place last year that added new restrictions on oil and gas development in the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska. If it goes into effect, this would remove protections the Biden administration had in place, preventing drilling and mining in parts of the state.
Environmentalists say it would destroy the local wildlife habitat. Sean Combs' former personal assistant has finished her testimony at his sex trafficking trial. Correspondent Jerika Duncan.
The question that the defense kept going to is, if this is someone who you say threatened your life and someone you were afraid of and someone who sexually assaulted you, why then, over the course of several years after working for Combs, did you send him nice messages?
Police in Texas say a suspect's been charged with murder in the death of voice actor Jonathan Joss.
Peggy, just dropping off a new healing herb for Nancy to help with her migraines.
Joss, best known for his work in the animated series King of the Hill, was killed near his home south of San Antonio. It was heavily damaged by a fire in January. His husband says the shooter yelled violent homophobic slurs before he opened fire. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the Reds at Great American Ballpark for game two of a three-game series. Milwaukee winning their eighth in a row last night, 3-2 over the Reds with help from the bullpen. Rob Zastrzynski, Abner Uribe, and Trevor McGill. Pat Murphy says he needs a good performance from Freddie Peralta tonight to give that bullpen some rest like last week against Boston.
The Priester DL Hall game plus the off day gave us a little bit of a blow. Now here we are again with those three guys going back-to-back, which puts us in a bind, but, you know, they've come through.
NFL Packers OTAs continue in Madison. Former running back James White, who won three Super Bowls with the Patriots, was back in Madison over the weekend, named as an inductee into the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame.
You know, being around some of the guys that, you know, some of my former teammates, Travis Frederick, Melvin was here, and, you know, he kind of brings back those memories. Yeah, it's definitely cool to be back here.
That's former Badger James White with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy with scattered rain and thunderstorms likely today, and there could be some locally heavy rain of a half inch to even up to an inch or more in spots. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Rain will end tonight, low of 50 tomorrow, partly cloudy, high in the mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 71.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll take a look at what's happening in the state budget, your phone calls on that, and what's worse. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was too when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes a penny saved isn't jack sh**, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome back. This is Nightlight, folks. Act two is just getting underway. Great to have you with me. We've got a really fun show tonight. Got a great question, a couple really solid guests, and we're talking movies. Our question of the night is, in honor of National Game Show Day, what is your favorite game show? I would say Jeopardy is winning so far. But you can go as abstract as you want with this, folks. We talked about Sidney Sweeney's bar soap, Conrad. He ordered a case.
A 30-pack.
A 30-pack. He's already, it hasn't even arrived yet, and he's already gone through it. I don't even know how that's possible, but he's very excited to get his Sidney Sweeney bar soap. And we're talking right now with my guest, Austin Galante. He is a, that's a cool name, by the way. How'd you swing that? Is that your birth name?
No.
Oh, sweet. See, I maybe should have changed mine. Peach Schwabba. It's hard. Conrad, what do people think my name is?
Peach Cobbler.
Yeah. Terrible. Austin Galante. That has some like, that's got some panache. How'd you settle on that?
Like 20 years ago, I was trying to figure out what my stage name was going to be, and I was walking behind a Mitchie Gallant. I was like, you know, if you add an E to that, it would sound.
Oh, I like that.
Sound nice.
And so, Austin's a good name too.
There it is.
Tell me about, you have a production company called Marshmallow Napalm. Where does that name come from? It's kind of cool.
You know, like sitting around the campfire and getting hot marshmallow on. It's just like napalm.
So, the true story behind that, it
yeah,
sounds like.
Yeah. So,
so you've got, you know, let me ask you this. I've seen some of the budgets on the films you work with, and some of them are small. I don't know what all the budgets are, and I wouldn't ask you because that's kind of a personal question for independent filmmakers, but what's the biggest challenge you face when you're making these movies? You've got all these actors, and you said you made, I think you said you made a feature film before for $3,000, like your first one, which is common. A lot of people breaking in their first film. How do you pull that off? Is it all favors, or how do you do that?
It was just really pared down. There wasn't like, you know, a lot
it's just
of
just you talking at lot. The camera.
Yeah, I mean, so I've spent a lot of time learning how to do everything myself. So,
right.
You know, I can edit it. I can do some visual effects, and I can color grade color.
Wow.
The film, and I'm also, you know, I make music, so I can score the movie, and you know, I know how to run a camera. I know how to run sound. I know. So, you know, like I can get away with doing a really pared down crew. Like the first movie had two guys, Mitch Munster and myself as the crew. And then There were like four other actors plus myself. I have a small part in it, but, yeah. So it's just about, you know, I spent, you know, 20 years learning how to do stuff.
Right. Well, good for you. You mentioned music. That's your background. You've worked with Snoop Dogg. You've worked with CeeLo Green. Those are the two names that stood out to me. Maybe there are even bigger heavy hitters that I don't know about that are in your resume. But
How did you go from, what did you do in the music industry and how did it bring you to movies?
Well, I was in a band for a really long time and we played a lot of shows and it was sort of a rap punk type band, but we, we had songs that were, had different feels to them. So we played with a lot of rap groups, over the years. I mean, I probably played with, I don't know, 20 or 30 famous like people everybody's heard of, you know, and then we also got to do a bunch of dates on the Warped Tour and met a bunch of people that way. So, you know, just like every situation is different. You know, I've recorded with some people in my living room and and then some people just send, you know, send the vocals to the track. And in other cases, it's just buying a verse or whatever. So.
You had a song. I don't know if it was Austin's movie, by the way, is called Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road. It opens June 7th at Sun Prairie. The premiere is in Sun Prairie on June 7th at Marcus Theaters. Can people, can anybody go to that or do you have to be invited or what's the deal?
Yeah, there's you can buy tickets on tickpick.com. Okay. And you can search Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road, or you can go to marshmallownapalm.com. And there's a link at the top of that page.
Still tickets available?
Yeah, tickets are like $11 and there's still probably around, I don't know, 40 tickets, something like that.
Nice. Left, so. Okay. It sounds like you had a good turnout. That's great. All right. So you have, I think it was a credit on, was it on this film? But you were credited as writing a song with Snoop Dogg. How'd that happen?
Well, that was just reaching out and buying a verse. I didn't get to meet him or anything.
Oh, okay. So, but I pictured you guys like huddled over, you know, at a coffee shop, right? In the but, it, you know, you have a credit with Snoop Dogg. That's cool. Like you guys collaborated sort of, right?
Yeah. And, you know, like, each situation is different. Like we did a song with Slim Cattray. I don't know if you remember Far Side. Well, it was like a group, I don't know, 20 years ago, they were really big, but he just like came to my living room and recorded.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, William Elliott Whitmore, I guess maybe for, okay. No. CeeLo, we played a show with him and then, you know, we hung out with him for a while at a bar and ended up talking and, he sent his verse, you know, over the internet. And
when was this? Was this post Forget You, for lack of a better? The song is the F word.
That was like the same year, but right before it released. So we got super lucky.
Was he cool?
I mean, yeah, he's a nice enough guy, I guess. Like, you know, he's just like chill, right? You know, like a lot of famous people are just like chill.
That's like one of my favorite songs ever.
Or trying to be cool. I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah. You should tell people you wrote the video or you directed the video. What are there similarities in what you do? Like when you say you were in bands, what's more of a grind? Trying to make it as a musician or making an independent film?
I don't know. They're both quite difficult without lots of money.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what is it they say, like $500,000 is what it takes to break a single?
Really?
Yeah, between $500,000 and $1 million. So, you know, most songs that you hear that are on the radio on repeat, someone,
so at least $500,000,
spent that much money getting them all across the country, their song on all these stations and sending them around to, you know, do whatever interviews and blah, blah, blah. It's expensive, right? Like, gotta fly there.
My guest is Austin Galante. His film is Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road. It opens June 7th in Sun Prairie is the premiere. There's still about 40 tickets left. You can check it out. It's June 7th in Sun Prairie at Marcus Theaters. We have another project coming out you told me about, but this is even lower budget. So what's the next story about?
It's called What Have We Won, and it is about two like kind of idiots who are, you know, just kind of struggling in life, and then they do some stuff, they end up winning the lottery and they move to Montana to pan for gold. And they just sort of like move out there with the camper and kind of this, the movie takes place at approximately the course of a couple weeks, but they're out there for about a week. And they're kind of like sort of living off the land until they decide what they're going to do as far as house and so forth. And it's just kind of about the trouble that follows them, even though they try to get away from their troubles. And yeah, I don't know. It's another comedy. Robert Lissardo's in it. Matthew Kenner's in it. Douglas Montoya's in it. They're also in Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road, which is a movie that comes out, or, you know, the premiere for. Sanguine Teeth has a few people in it. Charlie Mack just won the Golden Ticket on Kill Tony. So he is a very funny dude. You should check him out.
Okay. I'm checking him out right now on IMDb Pro. That's great.
And Jason Horton is a horror movie director who just released the movie A Hard Place, which is making a lot of noise. And I think he's sort of championing the like 80s B movie horror vibe, slasher vibe with it. So, yeah, he's in it. We have a scene that's pretty funny.
Awesome. Do you have, I noticed on your IMDb page, you know, and actors do this on the resumes, they list all the talents they have, and you have whistling. And now hold on. A lot of people would go, really? I can't even tell you how many resumes I've seen, whether I was casting something or I saw friends where people put whistling. What is that? When does that ever come into play that you know of in movies? I suppose it would, but
I think I've done at least 3 auditions where I had to whistle where they wanted someone who could whistle.
That is so funny. And is it like you put your fingers in and you do the really loud one, or just basic whistling?
One, they wanted someone to like whistle really high and do something. And then another one that's like some tune or something that, I don't remember exactly.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, we got a couple more minutes. You have got this great vampire movie coming out. Sanguine Teeth has 4 vampires. What are your favorite, do you have favorite vampire movies or a movie that you saw when you were younger where you're like, that's the kind of movie I want to make?
You got me on a gotcha question right there.
Oh, no, that was not my intention.
I don't know off the top of my head what my favorite vampire movie would be.
Did you see Nosferatu last fall? Or I know you said you hadn't seen Sinners yet. But it seems like they're kind of making a comeback.
I started to watch it, and then I wanted to watch it at a different time. So I haven't watched it yet. Gosh, favorite. Vampire, come back to me on that one.
Yeah, we'll do.
Let me think about it for just, you know, like a minute.
Sure. All right. So, what are you binge watching? Most guests I ask what they're watching. Are you binge watching anything on TV right now, or something you could recommend?
I did just watch Sirens. It was kind of interesting. It was kind of, I don't know.
That's a newer show, right?
Yeah.
The movie from the
It was a show, but you know, I watched it this weekend or week, whatever.
Okay.
Let's see.
Well, take your time. Think about it. Last thing I want to do is have a gotcha moment.
You got
with the
me.
Conrad saw Hacks, and you finished the whole season. You're caught up, right, Con?
Yeah. I finished it this past weekend. And
thumbs up?
It was a great season. It had all types of twists on it. The ending, you're like, what? It's a crazy ending to the show. I can't wait to see the next one. Next season.
That's so cool. I finished Mobland last night. 10 episodes, Tom Hardy, Pierce Brosnan, Helen Mirren. And it's not reinventing the wheel or anything, but it's well done for what it is. Guy Ritchie is one of the executive producers, and I recommend that. But what I've seen of Hacks, I really like too. On the stream, our question for the night is, what is your favorite game show? PJ on the stream says there once was a game show on Xbox by Microsoft called One Versus 100. It was a trivia game. I don't remember that. Thank you, PJ. And then Dave also says Barney's Clubhouse Pow. I know that, but I can't place where that was. Keep those texts coming, folks. Austin Galante, thank you so much. Best of luck with the film. I hope the premiere kicks butt and you have a line around the door, my friend.
Yeah, me too.
Be careful going back to Sun Prairie. You got to go through the east side. That's a tough part of town. All right.
Yeah.
We're coming right back, folks, for some movie talk and some UW Cinema Tech talk with our pal Ben Reiser. That's coming up next on Nightlight after a very short break. Don't go anywhere. We're doing Monday the way it's supposed to be done on State Street in Madison. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm waiting just for you. Someone's living for their love.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, folks. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am your host for this evening's festivities, Pete Schwabba. And our question of the night is, what is your favorite game show? It is National Game Show Day. So let us know. And I also need to tell you all about this really cool contest we have here at Civic Media. It's our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. All you need to do is have the Civic Media app. It's that easy. We give a keyword at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. You text in that keyword, and you are eligible for the hourly prizes of $100 in cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club-level tickets. Now, every time you enter in the hour for the hour prizes, you are automatically enrolled in the two grand prize trips. Conrad, tell people where the grand prize trips are, would you?
Yeah, they're in Baraboo and in Door County. How about that?
Holy mackerel.
How about that? Two very beautiful places in our state. So best case scenario, you win $100 and Brewers tickets and a grand prize. It all happens here at Civic Media during our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. We've had so much fun with these. We hope you guys will be a part of it. And today's the first day. It goes through Friday, June 13th, and you have four daily chances to enter. So good luck, everybody. I hope you come home with all kinds of prizes. That would be a lot of fun. Right now, joining me on the show, another in-studio guest. This is so much fun. One of my favorite people in Madison. All right, anywhere. I don't just keep it to the city limits. Ben Reiser, folks. He is the programmer at UW Cinematheque here in Madison, which is an outstanding program. We'll talk about that. And he works for the Wisconsin Film Festival, too. Ben, welcome.
Boy, oh, boy. That's quite an intro. Even after the grief I gave you late night during the festival.
Oh, man, you were on me.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry.
I don't know what got into you. That was unlike you.
It was a bad edible or something.
Listen, I think you were sticking up for a friend of yours. Yeah. And I didn't. The only thing that got me is you said, did you just not do your homework? And that got under my. We almost had to take it outside because this is a friend of yours. So I only hope you would
defend me.
This is international rock star Scott Lucas. Never mind, a friend of mine. Again, you're belittling this man.
No, I'm not at all. I think Scott is outstanding, and I've since listened to some of his songs. I can't remember any of them, but no, I'm kidding. But he's a big time. But you're a music guy.
Yeah, look, I'm wearing a very obscure band T-shirt, the English Beat. Remember them from the 80s?
I do. I love the English Beat. And every time you bring up Scott's name, I end up somehow in trouble. And I don't know what you kind of racket you're running here, but I know. I
keep trying to get us to a place where I am the heel that I feel like I have been during this whole situation, but somehow you're not navigating this correctly.
If I had just met you, I would have been like, what's that guy's problem? But I've known you long enough where I know you didn't mean anything about it. So yeah. It's great to have you here.
I figure like after midnight on a festival night, anything goes.
Yeah. We were hanging out. It was a fun party. Hey, give us a recap for this year's Wisconsin Film Festival. Another blast. It was great movies.
Yeah, it was crazy, insanely successful. I mean, it's always great. There's always great movies.
Yeah.
Great hang with you and all the other visiting filmmakers. But this year, I mean, it's been a long time since we had more than 3 or 4 sold out films during the course of the festival. This year, I think we had close to 40 sold out screenings.
Whoa.
It was insane.
I went to, I go to as many movies as I can when I'm not introducing a film. And everyone I went to was, like, for that Rolling Stones film, the title I can't say.
Yeah.
I was literally up next to the projection booth at the Barrymore, like at the top.
And it was probably still making your eardrums bleed with that loud. I mean, that was loud. That was ridiculously loud.
It was loud, but it was worth it because there were people getting up and dancing, and it was really fun. you guys always do a great job, but yeah, so another success. That's exciting.
It was great. I couldn't be any happier. And you were a key part of that success.
Wow, you're too kind. I almost took it back to your buddy, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get sucked in. When do you guys start working on the next one already? Like, you've got, 10 months now or whatever. When does that start?
Well, I've already been in contact with all the venues to give them our dates for next year, so we're already in it.
Okay. Wow. When does it really heat up? Like, when is it like Ben doesn't sleep
like
much?
The day before the festival? No. It'll heat up in September when the submissions start coming in again. We open up our submission windows at the beginning of September for all the Wisconsin Zone films. And Jim and Mike are going to be going to the Toronto International Film Festival in September. So that's, we kind of take the summer off as much as we possibly can. We're also all busy starting the end of this month with Cinematheque for 6 weeks this summer. So we've got that to contend with.
So, all right. It's funny because I like that screening room a lot at Cinematheque, and I've seen when you guys advertise.
Well, you must not sit there. You must just stand in the back because those seats are not comfortable. I'm the first one to tell you. I wish we had nicer seats.
It's just something about the experience of being there and of that building, which is old.
Yeah.
And whatever it is, and it takes me back to the 70s. I feel like all the butts that sat in those seats. I just think it's kind of a cool experience, even though the seats might not be the most comfortable. But for people who live in Madison and haven't ever been there, what can you tell them about it? And especially how much it costs to get in? Because I thought that was great.
Well, it's free.
Yeah.
And if you email me, I'll send you directions because it's not the easiest room to find on campus. It's one of these brutalist buildings where really brutal. You can't find the place. There's not a street level entrance to the entire building as you may know. You have to climb up a ramp, you have to find the right elevator. So there's that, but it's great. It's fantastic. And people are onto The Secret these days. The last couple of years of Cinematheque have really been, again, I hate to keep using the word, but very successful.
Yeah.
We regularly turn people away at the door.
And you guys show classics?
We show classics and premieres. During the school year, we're showing premieres on Thursday nights, and then we have our classics from the entire history of film on Fridays and Saturdays. Now, during the summer, we like to keep our weekends free, as I think most people do. So we do Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. So
that's awesome. All right, we're going to talk more about the schedule, what you can see at Cinematheque this summer if you take advantage of this amazing film watching experience. And then Ben and I will talk about movies. I love Sinners. He didn't love it. I can't wait. It's Pete Schwabe. The news is coming up next, and we're coming back to talk movies and Cinematheque on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Problem building towers for sight.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
CBS News Brief. The Egyptian national accused of attacking pro-Israeli demonstrators in Boulder, Colorado with Molotov cocktails is facing a federal hate crimes charge. Acting U.S. Attorney Bishop Gruhl.
He said that he had previously tried to purchase a firearm, but resorted to the Molotov cocktails when he could not purchase a gun because he was not a legal citizen.
12 people were injured. Health officials in Gaza say 27 Palestinians have been killed in a third Israeli attack in as many days. The BBC's Jeremy Bowen.
I've had a message from a foreign medic who is working in the area treating casualties. He said to me, they are being overwhelmed with casualties.
Despite pleas from environmentalists, the Trump administration planning to open the Alaska wilderness to drilling and mining. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum.
You could say, oh, they want to save the environment. Do they want to save the environment? Or are some of those people just trying to restrict our ability to be competitive?
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and the Reds at Great American Ballpark for game two of a three-game series. Milwaukee winning their eighth in a row last night, 3-2 over the Reds with help from the bullpen. Rob Zastrzynski, Abner Uribe, and Trevor McGill. Pat Murphy says he needs a good performance from Freddie Peralta tonight to give that bullpen some rest like last week against Boston.
The Priester DL Hall game plus the off day gave us a little bit of a blow. Now here we are again with those three guys going back-to-back, which puts us in a bind, but, you know, they've come through.
NFL Packers OTAs continue in Madison. Former running back James White, who won three Super Bowls with the Patriots, was back in Madison over the weekend, named as an inductee into the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame.
You know, being around some of the guys that, you know, some of my former teammates, Travis Frederick, Melvin was here, and, you know, he kind of brings back those memories. Yeah, it's definitely cool to be back here.
That's former Badger James White with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mark Hamill is done, as Luke Skywalker, that is. The actor says no one should ever expect him to appear as Luke Skywalker again, in any way, shape, or form. Deadline reports that Hamill says the franchise should rely on new faces. He last appeared as Luke Skywalker as a mentor to Daisy Ridley's character Rey in The Last Jedi. He's probably serious, but as we've learned, a Jedi never really dies. Just 5 days until you can purchase Bathwater Bliss, also known as the Sydney Sweeney-inspired soap. What inspired it? The fact that there is a market for men who want soap that smells like her bathwater. Sweeney says it's a way to connect with her pre-vert fans, and let's be honest, it's a lot more intimate than an autograph. I'm not really sure whether or not the soap will get you clean, but I doubt her patrons are concerned about that. Sweeney, on the other hand, might be the cleanest person in the world, because if the soap sells like hotcakes, she'll be in the tub around the clock.
Mmm, hotcakes.
For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy with scattered rain and thunderstorms likely today, and there could be some locally heavy rain of a half inch to even up to an inch or more in spots. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Rain will end tonight, low of 50 tomorrow, partly cloudy, high in the mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 71.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we're joined by dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser as we start the annual show of appreciation who make June Dairy Month possible.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far too many of
Welcome back.
You die.
Great to have you with me on this Monday night. We are broadcasting live from State Street at our Madison studios. Conrad is holding back, holding down. He's not holding back the fort. He's holding down the fort and doing it without wearing pants, which makes his job, all the more, whatever it is. I don't know.
One of these days I'm going to come up and do in studio in Green Bay hang out with Conrad. I never get to see this dude.
Conrad, show yourself on the screen for people listening. Look at that. There he is.
Nice.
Just a mountain of muscle, that guy.
It was helpful to actually watch you now because I got to see you do the 2-minute signal.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm not going to launch into one of my typical long stories. It has to be cut off halfway through. So I appreciate it.
Our question is, what is your favorite game show? Annie from Watertown says, oh my, Howard Gurnett and wife Rosemary, Dialing for Dollars. There's another one for Dialing for Dollars. Milwaukee Channel 12. At noon, as I remember, was he their weatherman? I don't know, Annie. I don't know that show. I was not around in Milwaukee. She said in the 1960s. I wasn't even here yet. Ben, you're in your really late 20s, right? Excruciatingly late
20s. They call it triple 20s, I think.
Annie says, Janis Joplin's Mercedes-Benz, second verse, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a colored TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I'll wait for delivery each day until 3. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Boy, looks like I really missed out on this game show. Thank you, Annie. Ben Reiser is here, folks. He is the programmer of UW Cinematheque here in Madison. It's free. Your sound is state-of-the-art. The screen is great, right? I mean, you talk about the seats not being that comfortable. They're not that bad, though.
I don't know why I said that. I'm always saying stuff that really
keeps people
goes
away.
Against what I'm trying to promote at any given moment.
Oh, we show terrible films.
Come
too,
to the
Pete.
Festival and I'll get into a fight with you late night. Come to our Cinematheque. You won't be able to sit through the movie. It's so uncomfortable.
Ben's a prince of a guy. It's good to have you here in the studio, buddy. How long does it take you to get here from Casa de Reiser?
10 minutes.
Not bad.
Everything's 10 minutes away in Madison, isn't it?
The last time I stayed here, I was out in the western burbs.
Oh, yeah.
It might have been technically Madison, but I ate at this Indian place. Oh, my God, was it good.
Wait a minute. Was it Fitchburg? Was it the one that's in a hotel? Because there's this new weird Indian fusion place that's Indian plus Italian. So they make like a chicken tiki masala pizza.
Oh, nice.
Oh, but I think you might be talking about all the way on the west side, like off of Mineral Point Road, there's an Indian place that we've been to twice. Very, authentic.
Oh, yeah.
But in, an old Chinese restaurant takeout spot, right next to a Home Depot or a Petco or something like that.
That's not it either. If you said it, I would know it. It's by the there's a conference center and there's a and the Starbucks there. And I talked about this last time I was here. I went to the Starbucks twice and they checked no thank you on the tip for me.
Wow.
That made me want to tip them. Yeah. Because I get,
what's up with that? Why would they do that? That's like me.
I don't like getting shaken
down.
No,
don't come to my movies. What's the matter with
that? All right, Ben is here. We have to talk. Tell us about Cinematheque. What is coming up this summer you're excited about? You got this cool summer program. What's happening?
Well, we're showing us some Gene Hackman movies because he died.
Yeah.
Terrible. Have you ever heard a worse death story than Gene Hackman and his wife?
The only thing that would have made it worse is if he was in his 50s. I mean, he had a great run, but yeah, it's still a terrible way to go.
Right. Oh, I don't even want to think about it. Anyway, we're honoring Gene Hackman with hopefully some movies that are more entertaining than the way he died. We're going to show one of my favorite Gene Hackman movies, which is not The French Connection, but The French Connection 2.
Yeah.
Where Popeye Doyle goes to Marseille to pursue the guy he sort of lets slip through his fingers at the end of The French Connection. Love that movie. What else are we showing? We're showing a bunch of films by this French director who's made a million movies, Claude Lelouch. Maybe you've heard that name. He made a movie called A Man and a Woman back, I think, at the end of the 60s, which is sort of like an iconic French romantic comedy drama. And apparently he made a bunch of thrillers. So we're going to be showing, because it's summertime, everyone loves a nice thriller in the summer. So we've got some bank heist movies. Yeah, just a bunch of fun. In the summertime, we just sort of say, what's going to be fun for people to come hang out? And, you know, there's only so many times you can see Mission Impossible, the final chapter. So we got to have some popcorn movies, even at Cinematheque.
Absolutely. I love a good heist movie. As far as I'm concerned, there's not enough out there to keep me, like, I would watch a heist movie every night if, you know.
Right. Well, have you and I talked about Dragged Across Concrete?
You mentioned it. I have not seen that. Tell me about that.
That's a great heist movie. I don't need to tell you anything else. Mel Gibson, bank heist, incroyable, as they would say in France with Claude Lelouch. Dragged Across Concrete. And the guy is the filmmaker. Maybe you've seen some of his other films. I'm spacing out on his name, but he made this great crazy Western with Kurt Russell called Bone Tomahawk. You seen that one?
No, I've heard of it. I have not seen it.
And he made one with Vince Vaughn called Brawl in Cell Block 99.
I think I saw that.
That's a nasty one. But yeah.
Same filmmaker?
Those are his three films.
Okay.
I think right before the pandemic, we were planning on showing all three of them and bringing him here. And I think we still hope to do that. But I think he's shooting another film now, so maybe we'll wait for his next movie to come out. But Dragged Across Concrete. Fantastic.
Mel Gibson.
Heist movie, yeah.
Crazy Mel Gibson. What year is that from?
That's a good question.
I'm probably going to watch that tonight, to be honest with you.
I want to say that was like 2018, maybe, or 2019.
Oh, nice.
You know, then the pandemic killed everything.
No kidding. All right, we have to get into this, Ben, because I love, you know, inevitably, you always, when you come on here, you always...
say the wrong thing.
No. You say your opinion, and I love, like, you, and the last couple times you've taken a side that was not, was kind of... the antithesis of what everybody else felt. So
I don't mean to do that, but apparently I do. I spent 2 hours talking about Star Trek, the motion picture today on a podcast that I do called 70 Movies We Saw in the 70s. And that was the one Star Trek movie that was 1979. And most people think Wrath of Khan, which is the second Star Trek movie. And then whatever the fourth one is, those are the good ones. I like 1, 3, and 5. And when I say that to Star Trek peoples, otherwise known as Trekkies, although that apparently that's you're not supposed to say that word.
It's politically incorrect now.
people look at me like I'm out of my mind, but I don't know. I like the original Star Trek. It's long and slow and boring, but it's kind of cinematic in a way that the other ones aren't, because I think they realize nobody wants to see a sort of a 2001 or, you know, fancy Russian Solaris version of Star Trek. They want to see, you know, Kirk bare-chested and fighting it out with some alien. And so that's what they did with Wrath of Khan. But this one, the first one, anyway, blah, 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 blah. Yes, I sometimes have an unpopular opinion. I don't mean to be that way.
Well, you like what
I don't,
you like,
I don't
right?
cultivate I mean, that, right.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about Sinners, is that right?
Yeah. I know you're not just being, you know, contrarian for the sake of it.
Thank
but
you. That's the word
you've got to be.
Come up with, but yeah.
You have your own opinion. So you did not, and you didn't sound like you hated it, but you
oh,
had,
no. I pretty much hated
you
it.
You hated Sinners. Oh, please elaborate.
Well, I'm a Ryan Coogler guy. Okay. I like his other movies. I think the first two Creed movies and even the one he didn't direct, the last one. I love those Creed movies. They're certainly better than the last three Rocky movies. And, you know, Black Panther, great. Fruitvale Station, great. This one should have been right up my alley. I'm a horror guy. You tell me you're going to have a vampire movie. You're going to have, you know, great acting, all that stuff. I just didn't buy a single second of it. And really? I think the movie, among other things, is really trying to be this sort of authentic vision of what things were like back in those days in that neck of the woods, especially musically.
Yeah.
But I didn't like a single note of music that is either on the soundtrack or actually being played in the movie. I just thought it was inauthentic. Like, they had this, I don't know, German or Swiss guy composed the soundtrack for that movie, and he's doing all these kind of like weird European sounding blues riffs on the thing. I'm like, why is this? Why wasn't this movie, you know, scored by, I don't know, Two Live Crew or Public Enemy or anybody from the any African American recording artist of the last 50 years. If they had done that, I probably would have liked it a lot more. But I also thought it wasn't a good vampire movie. Like, it wasn't scary. I didn't understand the rules of it. I feel like it was a horror movie made by people who aren't really into horror movies. Maybe for people who don't really like horror movies. Because I was amazed at how many people love this movie. And I'm like, well, maybe because it's not really scary and it's really just, I guess, trying to make a statement. But I feel like that's a statement that's been made plenty of other times in plenty of better movies.
Wow. Okay. I just feel like it was, I liked every, the music, you did a deep dive there. That's like serious inside baseball.
I don't, but it shouldn't music be. Guy. Come on, man. You got a guy named Ludwig Göransson who's doing blues riffs for this movie. Come on.
I thought it was, I kind of agree with you about the vampire stuff. I don't agree with you, but I feel like it took a long time to get to. In fact, I feel like that opening scene, there was probably a studio note that says there's no vampires for an hour and 15 minutes. Yeah. So they put that in so we know what's coming. But
it's a good opening.
It's a good opening.
That's the thing. I came to love this movie. I wanted to love it.
Were your expectations too high?
I don't think so. I try to come in with no expectations, but if I'm honest with myself, I'm like, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see this. The previews were all good. That first scene is good. It grabs you. And then it just was sort of like this steady sort of like, okay, I guess this movie's never really going to take off.
Interesting. What did you think about the, I liked the movie when I thought it was done. And then the credits started and that last scene did it for me. I loved it because of that last scene. You did not like that last scene, right?
No. It's fine. But it was too little too late for me.
Okay. Gotcha.
The last scene is fine.
You have to stay through the credits, folks. If you're listening, you have to. I don't know why they did that, but.
By the way,
yeah.
Let me say the opposite about another movie that I know you saw and I saw and I really liked a lot, Warfare.
All right, we'll talk about that too. Ben Reiser's here.
I didn't even see Conrad signal anything.
No, he didn't signal. I have to reset, they call it in radio.
Oh, okay.
Ben Reiser's here. He's one of the programmers. He's the programmer of UW Cinematheque. Not to say he won't take notes from people, but and he works for the Milwaukee. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I'm not the programmer for Cinematheque. I'm one of three programmers. Jim Healy's the main dude.
And he's a big shot with the Wisconsin Film Festival.
Yeah, that's
too.
True.
And we get together and talk movies every once in a while. He did not like Sinners. I liked Sinners.
Conrad, what'd you think?
He didn't see it.
I didn't see it yet.
That's my man.
He doesn't even have pants on tonight.
I think he never leaves that chair.
He doesn't.
I saw Karate Kid Legends, so I did leave it.
How's that?
It was all right. Nothing special.
Well, what were you? Why were you excited to go run and see that?
I like
Cobra
Kai.
Were you a big Cobra Kai?
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. And I like the first three Karate Kids. And the fourth one didn't happen, so.
Right.
Well, you and I both saw War. That's okay. You and I both saw Warfare. I thought it was the best war movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I didn't
accept.
Yeah. And I kind of agree with you there. Not until you said it though. So tip of my hat to you. Cause I was like, it was a little cheesy and it's cool that you get to see them, but I thought they could have done that with still photos or something. Mm-hmm. They didn't need to have this. Hey, we're just a bunch of wacky guys.
No. And they also made what feels like the most authentic war movie of all time.
Awesome.
I don't need proof that these were actual guys.
That's a great point.
You're taking me out of the reality of your movie, which was amazing.
And it really, to me, Ben, I left that movie going, you want to support the troops? Don't send them into, like, you see these guys that are all Navy SEALs. They're specialists. They're highly trained. Well, when that bomb goes off, they're all concussed and they can't. You see what hell it actually is from a guy who lived it. It isn't just shooting things and exaggerating. You know, I thought it was amazing. But I do agree with you on the credit sequence there. Should we talk Mission Impossible? All right, we got to wrap up here. For now, we're doing a very short break. Then we're going to get Ben's opinion on Mission Impossible, the latest.
And I've got one.
Supposedly. I bet you do. Ben Reiser's here, folks. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. I talk to you in the night, in your dream.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Dismantling the IRA and other federal clean energy incentives will add a half a gigaton of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. That's according to modeling from Princeton University. House Republicans passed aggressive cuts to clean energy incentives in their latest budget. The Senate is now considering the bill. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has given the green light for a major build-out of fossil fuel-burning power plants in Wisconsin. We Energies wants to build new gas plants and operate
operate them for 30 years, largely to meet the needs of Microsoft's new AI data center. It's turtle nesting season, and the DNR is asking drivers to slow down on roads near wet areas, lakes, and rivers. Wisconsin's 11 turtle species lay eggs from late May through June, when you can often see them along roads and in yards. You can help keep them safe by being alert when driving through their habitat. For a deep dive into environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We recently reported on county supervisors in Shasta County, California, still clinging to debunked 2020 election fraud claims by President Trump and his allies. May 29th, a Colorado man was sentenced to 3 years in prison for threats he made to top Colorado and Arizona election officials, fueled by those same claims. Teek Ty Brockbank of Cortez, Colorado, pleaded guilty in federal district court last fall for threatening to, quote, hang by the neck Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold and former Arizona Secretary of State and now Governor Katie Hobbs. He also threatened a judge presiding in a separate DUI case and threatened to shoot federal agents if they stepped on his property. Brockbank asked for leniency during the sentencing, blaming consumption of alcohol and online conspiracy theories for his actions, according to the Associated Press. The Brennan Center for Justice found in a 2024 survey that 38% of election officials have been subjected to threats. A Princeton University Bridging Divides tracker found 90 threats to election workers last year alone. Meanwhile, the Department of Justice Division, which prosecuted Brockbank, the Public Integrity Division, has largely been dismantled under Trump's Ending the Weaponization of the Federal Government executive order. The division has been reduced from 30 lawyers to only 5 under Attorney General Pam Bondi. We have the DOJ's details of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings on WFHR.
Nutella just announced its first new U.S. flavor in 61 years. The new flavor is peanut.
I can just see the boardroom, right, when they were doing this thing.
Oh, gentlemen, we have cornered the market on hazelnut and chocolate. We need something new.
Sir, how about we do peanuts?
Are you telling me you want to do something like peanut butter? That sounds revolutionary.
Brilliant!
Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Easy to trap. Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. I'm Pete Schwabba. Tomorrow night, I will be back in Green Bay, and we will have Rob Thomas on. David Grant. Yeah, Madison film critic Rob Thomas, the always entertaining Rob Thomas. David Grant, Civic Media's own David Grant, will report from the Circus Parade. Is that still on, Con?
Yeah, he's going to be at the parade, in which is, I believe, the following week.
Baraboo.
And he's going to, tell us a little bit about what's going
on. Okay.
Yeah.
I love a parade. And then paranormal investigator Todd Michaels, Civic Media's own. That'll be fun. That's all tomorrow night on Nightlight, folks. We've got a couple texts we got to get through here. Steady Eddie texted us back. This is a double feature, Steady Eddie. Pete, Dialing for Dollars is in the lyrics of the a cappella Janis Joplin song, Mercedes-Benz. Oh, that's what I knew. I heard that song. I didn't know what he says. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Did I read this, Conrad?
Yes.
Yep. No, but it was Anna sent the same.
Oh, no, no. Yeah. So it's the same, but
he's just explaining
the same thing.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Eddie says, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV, Dialing for Dollars? Are they a couple? Are Anna and Steady Eddie in cahoots? Steady Eddie says, Pete, you might want to think about trading in your black and white plasma for one of them newfangled color televisions. I'm not sure, but I think they might be here to stay. Steady Eddie, well done, sir. I talk about color television every night. Bridget in the 818 says $100,000 pyramid is the best. The winner's circle is so exciting. Forgot that one too. Did you ever watch that, Ben?
Which one?
$100,000 pyramid.
Oh yeah.
I remember it, but I don't.
Dick Clark, I think, was the host.
Was it Dick Clark? Dickie C. Ben Reiser is here. We've got a few more minutes with my guest, Ben Reiser. He has been nice enough to come into the studio here tonight when we broadcast from Madison, and we're talking about movies. We talked about Sinners, Warfare. He gave us an update on what is coming up at UW Cinematheque here at Vilas Hall, which is free. They've got great films coming up this summer. If people wanted to
see like a lineup, go to the interwebs.
Yeah, cinema.wisc.edu.
There you go. And they're all free and it's fantastic. So what, hold on, Ben, we got,
I don't know if they're all fantastic, but most of them are pretty good.
Yeah. You guys don't book,
listen, we like to show a lot of different things. Not everything's going to appeal to everybody.
Are you going to buy Sydney Sweeney bath soap? Have you heard about this?
Oh, is it used?
Well, it's her bath water.
Oh, it's her bath
water. It's the essence of her bath water in a new soap called Bathwater Bliss. It's $8 a bar. Okay. A perfect combination of the two best places on the planet, the outdoors and Sydney Sweeney's bathtub. Experience the ultimate blend of outdoor serenity with refreshing notes of pine, Douglas fir, earthy moss, and a touch of Sydney's very own bathwater.
Well, you know when that Gwyneth Paltrow made a candle. I can't even tell you the rest of the sentence. Yeah.
And that's weird, too. She's strange to me. She's very full of herself.
I think Sydney Sweeney's right up there with her in the strange.
Or this is genius because she knows there's a whole bunch of creepy dudes out there that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, celebrities looking for more money just used to sell like their used panties. And I don't know. Now they've moved into a whole other. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. What do you
got? Bathwater. Oh, my goodness.
All right. I have to, before we get out of here, I have to ask you.
Or doesn't that happen in that movie that came out last year with the guy told Salford. Everyone he's an addict? Yeah. Salford.
Yeah. Right. And that's Jacob Elordi's bathwater.
There you go. He needs to put out his own bathwater.
I don't know. I don't think women are buying either. But maybe. I think
there's
all
plenty
dudes.
Of men who would buy Jacob Elordi.
I know. And Sydney Sweeney. It's like the guys have all the creep factor.
Yeah. Are they both on that Euphoria show? I think they are.
Yeah, they are. Right.
I know Sydney Sweeney is.
Hey, yeah. Conrad.
Conrad has them all on.
I watched like three episodes and I did not like it. But yeah, they're both in it.
Yeah.
Okay. MI8, The Final Reckoning. Thoughts?
Sure. I thought it was good. I'm a sucker for all the Mission Impossible movies.
Too.
Maybe the John Woo one was the one that I was like,
is that the second
this
one?
Is no good. Yeah.
It was terrible. The first one was just okay. Too,
oh, right? No. I love the first one. Brian De Palma can do no wrong. I think he's a genius. Having said that, these last four that Christopher McQuarrie made are great. But the reason I'm hesitating to say anything too complainy about this last one is because I don't think I really loved the first part of this one, Dead Reckoning, until like the third time I watched it.
And now you do.
I loved it.
You've seen that movie three times?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And I liked it the first time. I really liked it the second time. And then getting ready for this new one, my son and I watched it. And I was like, this is great. What was I ever complaining about? And so I might get to that with this one. But based on my first viewing, which was an IMAX, which is always nice.
Oh, yeah.
The first hour is deadly. And then there's stuff that happens for the rest of it that is like, what? There's too many nagging questions for me. Okay. Too many things where I'm like, I feel like they didn't remember that they needed to clear up this plot point, or they didn't.
With the rabbit's foot, maybe?
Well, I don't know anything about the rabbit's foot, but there's something that goes on with a parachute. There's something that goes on.
Yeah, he has another parachute.
Yeah, but who knew? And you never see him pull it or what?
I thought maybe he would die, and it was the last one. Well, they do like a Bond thing. And
right. I mean, what I really thought, and maybe they didn't do this because maybe this exact thing happened in a James Bond movie, I thought he was going to get the other guy who has fallen
with the
out.
Parachute.
And grab his parachute.
Right.
And I was like, when's that going to happen? And then it didn't happen. I was like, oh, man, what a wasted opportunity.
Yeah, I didn't get that either, but I have very few complaints. Even the recap. I know some people had an issue with that. Kind of feel like you needed it a little.
Well,
something.
I didn't because I just watched Dead Reckoning, but I was annoyed. I was like, I don't need flashbacks. You know, I hope when it goes to streaming or whatever, they pull that stuff out. I don't need that. It's fine if they want to talk about it. I don't need to see the actual footage.
Right.
I hate that. Whenever they do that in a movie, it annoys me.
Fair enough. Ben, this was fun. I think you should give Sinners another watch and come around.
I'm sure I will.
I would like to thank all of you for being here tonight, folks. This was fun. Always fun to be in Madison doing the show. Thank you to Ben Reiser. Thank you to Austin Galante, the guy with the cool name. Check out his film, The Sanguine. I got to pull it up again. I keep, The Sanguine. Conrad, help me.
The Sanguine Teeth
on a Driftless Road.
Yes.
There you go. Check it out. Thank
now
you for all your texts and all your calls, folks. Have a great night. We'll be back to do it all again tomorrow. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwab saying goodnight, Wisconsin. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, take me to-
is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Officials say the Egyptian national facing a federal hate crimes charge for allegedly throwing Molotov cocktails at pro-Israeli protesters in Colorado planned the attack for a year. CBS's Anna Schechter.
What they lay out is a very cold-blooded, calculated series of plans that he carried out to a T until the end.
Health officials in Gaza reporting a third day of deadly Israeli strikes on hungry Palestinians trying to get to an aid distribution center. This time, 27 reported killed. British surgeon Dr. Victoria Rose.
We've got all the bays are full and they're all gunshot wounds. It's absolute carnage here, and there are even more people in the main emergency department.
Passengers are heartened by the news. A runway construction project at New Jersey's troubled Newark Liberty Airport has wrapped up early.
We all want to get to where we're going, so that's super, super good. I'm happy to hear that.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is